1 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. If you're visiting with us, my name's Rick, one of the pastors here. Special welcome to you. Christmas week is finally here. And if you were here last Sunday night at our carol service, you'll know that for the Christmas period, Clint and I, we are working through a little series called Jesus Light in the Darkness. What we're planning to do this morning, again on Christmas Day, this evening, is unpack this incredibly rich analogy that Jesus is the light of the world. Last Sunday night, we kind of began things by thinking about the fact that the light brings illumination into our dark world. Because when Jesus came to earth, he illuminated things in a way that they'd never been illuminated before. His teaching brought illumination, his miracles brought illumination, his perfect life brought illumination. He just lit up the landscape, lit up the world in a way that it had never been brightened before. And he taught people different things. He told people that God's standard was perfection, not close enough as good enough. He told people they were sinners who actually needed to repent. He told people that God cares more about your heart than he does about cold religious ceremony. And he told people that he had come to earth to actually give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus, the light, he came to earth and he brought illumination. And some people ran towards the light. Jesus, we believe what you're saying. But other people ran away from the light. Jesus, please leave us alone. We're not interested in you or your message. So last week we thought about the light bringing that illumination. This morning though, we're going to change angles a little bit. We're going to think about the light that brings direction. Jesus, the light that brings direction. But before we do that, before we do anything else, how about we pray together and ask for God's help? Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, that you are light and that in you there is no darkness at all. You're holy, you're pure, you're true. Thank you that we can worship you this morning, and thank you that we can study your holy, true word. We pray that you'll open our ears, open our hearts, so that we're challenged, so that we're changed by your word. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I shared this story at an evening service last year, but I'm going to share it again this morning. Back when I was 18, I was living in Wollongong at the time, and our youth group went on a camp to a place called Dunn Swamp. It was actually nicer than the name sounds. It was out the back of Lithgow, and about 3 hours from Wollongong where we lived. And so we most of us were working. So we left late from Wollongong. We traveled. We arrived maybe 8, 9 o'clock at night. And we actually set up camp in the dark under our headlights. And that worked all right. But after that, rather than just kicking back around in a fire, we decided that we were going to play a game of spotlight. And there was a hill out the back of the camping area. And so we scrambled up this hill and we started playing spotlight. And it was a great place for it. There were these kind of nooks and hiding places and little hollows. And it was great for spotlight. We had a ball. The next morning we wake up and the sun's shining brightly. And we actually get out of our tents and look at the campsite in light for the very first time. And the campsite is pretty nice. We're happy with the campsite. But then we look up this hill where we'd been playing Spotlight the night before, and we think, oh man. Because for the first time we actually see just how rugged this area is. And there's all these 5, 6, 8, 10 meter cliffs all around the whole area. The night before it had looked fine, and we were tearing around in the dark, completely oblivious to all that danger. In the morning though, we saw things as they really were. And the reality was sharp and rugged and really dangerous. And we were all very thankful that half of us hadn't ended up in hospital the night before. So firstly, the sunlight brought illumination. It showed things as they really were. But beyond that, there's a sense in which that light also brought direction. Because we camped there for another couple of nights, but at night we never went back that way again. At night we avoided that and we went this way instead. And so the light actually caused us to change direction, to move away from the danger, to move away from those rocks. And you know, when we talk about Jesus coming to earth, in a similar way, he brings illumination. He illuminated things with his crystal clear teaching, with his life, death, resurrection, so that we know what's what. But that's not the end of the story. He came to earth also so that we trust in him and then change direction. So that we trust in him and move away from the rocks of danger, the rocks of sin, the rocks of rebellion, the rocks of trusting in our own efforts. Jesus came to illuminate, but then to cause us to change direction as we follow that light. Listen to what Jesus says in John 8:12. He says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You see what he's saying? He's saying, I am a light to be followed. I'm not a light to be ignored. I'm not a light to merely be admired from a distance. I am a light to be followed. It is a light that brings direction. And as I said a moment ago, he's calling us away from the rocks of living for self, living for sin, trusting in us. He's calling us away from all that to himself, and he's saying, follow me. I know the way to go. And this is a theme that pops up again and again in the Gospels. In Matthew 4:19-20, remember when he approached the first disciples, he said this. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. That was a very literal following, wasn't it? They actually physically walked away from their careers and they followed Jesus. But that's a good picture of what Jesus is calling us to do. And that's why in Matthew 16:24, he told his disciples, and he tells us, if anyone would come after me, so anyone, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So Jesus, he's not someone to be admired from a distance. He's actually someone to be followed. And I think this is something that we should really think about carefully at Christmas time. Because many people think that Jesus is calling us to remember him each and every year on the 25th of December, when in reality, Jesus is calling us to follow him each and every day of our lives. Jesus is that light that brings direction. Now this idea can be found in a bunch of places in the Bible, but we're going to look at 1 John 1. So if you've got a Bible, we just read it together, 1 John 1. We're going to work through verses 5 to 9, and we see this same analogy pop up here in 1 John. And in verse 5, John says this, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." So here, he's not just focusing on Jesus. He's actually focusing on God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's focusing on the whole Trinity, and he's saying, the message we're bringing to you is that God is light, that there's no darkness in him at all. And this is really the starting point for us getting our bearings in life. We can't understand what life is about. We can't understand ourselves. All of that needs a reference point, and the reference point for us is that God is light. It is perfectly holy, perfectly pure, bright and radiant goodness. This is the God that created us, the God that we're to worship. He's holy. And this is why when Jesus, God's Son, came to earth, he actually really, really stood out. Because he was pure in a way that no one else had ever been pure. His actions were perfect. His words were perfect. Even his thoughts were always perfect. Because he is God. He is light. Perfect holiness. Perfect radiance. And so this is the God that made us. This is the God that's with us right now. This is the God that's calling us to follow him, to trust in his Son. A perfectly holy God. Have a look at verse 6. This is confronting. It says, if we say we have fellowship with this bright, holy, perfect God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Underline that word say. John's saying that a lot in this chapter. If we say, and he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, if we say that we know Jesus, if we say that we're a Christian, if we say that we belong to the light, but we continue walking in the darkness, we are in fact actually lying. And notice the word walking here, or walk. He's not talking about stumbling into sin. We all do that. He's talking about the direction of our life, the direction that we're consistently walking in. He's talking about a lifestyle. And he says, if your lifestyle is one of walking in darkness, then no matter what your mouth says, you're actually deceiving yourself. You're not telling the truth. Now at this time of year, a lot of people are saying a lot with their mouths about Jesus, about God, about what they believe. Think about last night's carols in the Domain. Thousands and thousands of people came together to sing songs about Jesus. Millions of people tuned in to watch and sing songs about Jesus. Yeah, Santa, he got a mention too, but don't miss the fact that there were millions of people using their mouths to say something about Jesus last night. Think about some of the lyrics of our most loved carols. What about Away in a Manger? It says, I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. So you got all these people saying, I love thee, Lord Jesus. What about O Holy Night? It says, sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. So again, you've got all these people saying, Jesus is holy. What about Silent Night? Silent Night, Holy Night. Son of God loves pure light. Sounds familiar. Radiant beams from thy holy face with dawn of redeeming grace. So again, people are saying, Jesus is God's Son and he shines brightly. What about joy to the world? Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her King. So you got all these people singing, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the King of the earth. That's a big call, isn't it? One more. Hark the herald angels sing. It says, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. So again, people are saying here, Jesus is the light of the world. And he brings life. And you put all this together and a bunch of other things that are sung at this time of year, and people are using their mouths to say an awful lot about Jesus. People are saying, we love Jesus because he's holy, because he's the King, because he's the Son of God, and he's the light of the world who brings life. In singing the carols, people's mouths are saying a lot about Jesus. Now I'm very willing to concede that many, many people are just unthinkingly singing these lyrics. And it's more about the music. It's more about the atmosphere. It's more about the Christmas spirit, whatever that means for many people. But each year, mixed with that huge crowd of carol singers, there are also a whole bunch of people who, to some degree, really do believe the lyrics of these songs. They really do. And they really do believe that they are Christians because of those beliefs. And if you ask them, are you a Christian? They would say, yeah, I am a Christian. Yes, I believe that Jesus came to earth. Yes, I believe he's the light of the world. I believe he's the Savior. And every Christmas I celebrate Jesus because I think Jesus is great. Now on one level, that's really encouraging, isn't it? That's a really good starting point. But what does John say here in 1 John 1? He says, if we say we have a relationship with the light while we keep on walking in darkness, then we're actually kidding ourselves. We're actually lying. Because we can say that we know the light, that we love the light, that we have a relationship with the light until we're blue in the face, but unless we're actually walking in that light, we're kidding ourselves. Because Jesus, as I said before, he's not a light to be admired from a distance. He's a light to be followed. This comes out in the next verse. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So it's not enough to sing the carol or to talk the talk. Jesus is calling us, God is calling us to walk the walk. And he says, when you walk that walk, when you're walking in the light, that's a clear sign that you truly do belong to God. You have a relationship with him. That Jesus' blood has washed away your sin. And please don't misunderstand here. John's not saying, if you can just walk the walk enough, then you'll get to heaven. He's not saying that. He's writing to people who are saying they're Christians. And he's saying, you can know that you're a Christian if you're walking in the light. But if you're not walking in the light, then maybe you need to rethink about whether or not you truly are a Christian. Because if God's truly illuminated our hearts, then we're not going to want to walk in the darkness. We've been saved from that. We want to walk in the light. And once we've seen that, the horror of that sin, that the danger of that, the cost of that, God's son dying, we should want to run away from that and walk in the light. Once at that campsite, once we'd seen what was going on in the daylight and we saw all the cliffs and the danger, we wanted to walk over this way. We wanted to go in a different direction. And for the Christian, once they see what they're saved from, they want to move away from that and follow the light. They want to walk in the light. And so true Christians, what John is saying here, don't just sing about Jesus. They don't just talk about Jesus. They actually follow Jesus, going where he wants them to go and doing what he wants them to do. Jesus isn't simply a light to be admired. He's a light to be followed. And I'll say it again. I don't want anyone misunderstanding. The way to heaven is not by working to follow Jesus as best we can. That would undermine the whole good news of the gospel because we're trying to be earning our own way to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. It's not what John is saying. Following Jesus is not the way to be saved. It's actually the result of being saved. Because a true Christian loves the light of the world. They have confidence in the light of the world. They have a relationship with the light of the world, and that relationship compels them to follow him, to walk in his footsteps. Even when it's difficult, even when it's scary, even when it might cost something, even when we might not want to, true Christians will follow the light of the world. Not to gain that relationship with him, but because of the relationship that they have with him. But all that said, what John wants us to see as we read this part of his letter, what I want us to see this Christmas season It's not enough to know about the light. It's not enough to admire the light. We need to be following the light and the direction that he brings. Listen to what Jesus says, John 10:27. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So those who truly belong to Jesus, those who truly are in the light, they're going to follow him. They're going to walk in the light. And so the question that all this really forces us to ask individually is, am I actually following the light of the world? Sure, I might admire him. I might believe in him, but I'm actually following him. Because the answer to that question actually tells us a bit about our hearts, doesn't it? And so we should be asking, am I living for his glory? Am I trying to obey him? Am I serving him? Is he the one truly charting the course of my life, or have I got it all figured out where I want to go all by myself? Am I walking in the light? If the answer's no, then John is forcing us to reconsider whether or not we truly know the Jesus of Christmas. True Christians walk in the light. They follow the light of the world. Now, what's that mean? Does that mean that we never fall into sin? Does that mean that we are always heading in the right direction, always doing the right thing? Of course not. Look at the very next verse, 1 John 1, verse 8. John says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." Now that's worded very negatively, but it's actually a very encouraging verse, because John is actually giving us a realistic understanding of what the Christian life is going to look like. Well, we won't always follow Jesus perfectly. Sometimes we will step back into the darkness when we should be walking in the light. We're going to mess up. We're going to fall into sin. And I'm never going to defeat sin in this life. You're never going to defeat sin in this life. And John says, if we claim to have done so, then we're deceived and the truth is not in us. David Jackman, preacher, commentator, he tells this story about the famous preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And he says this, I'll read it. "Spurgeon was once confronted by a man who claimed to be without sin. Intrigued, the preacher invited him home to dinner. After hearing the claims through, Spurgeon picked up his glass of water and threw it in the man's face. Understandably, the visitor was highly indignant and expressed himself very forcefully to the preacher about his lack of courtesy. To which the wise pastor replied, 'Ah, you see, the old man within you is not dead. He had simply fainted and could be revived with a glass of water.'" Yeah. That's sad, but it's true, isn't it? As much as a Christian might want to walk in the light and be holy and do the right thing, the old self, the old man's not completely dead. And sometimes he is revived by the smallest thing. But a Christian is one who wants to walk in the light and who's striving to walk in the light. And understanding this helps us with the tension in this passage. If you see in verse 6, we're told this, that it's dishonest for a person to claim to know the light but not walk in the light. But then in verse 8, we're also told that it's dishonest for a person to claim that they are walking in the light perfectly. Because no one can. You see, it's all about life direction. It's not about life perfection. That's for heaven. That's for later. It's about life direction. Even though a Christian will stumble into sin, their life direction is one of walking in the light, following the Lord and Savior. So what about the sin, though, that still remains? What do we do with that? What do we do when we step back into the darkness and we do the wrong thing, we sin? Well, the next verse tells us, doesn't it? Verse 9. It says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So it's a very well-known verse. Perhaps we don't appreciate it in its immediate context. That word confess there, it's actually a really interesting word. A little bit of Greek. In the Greek, it's homologeo. Two words that make one word. Homo means the same. We talk about something being homogenous. We talk about homosexuality. Homo means the same. Logos means the word. 1 John 1 says, in the beginning was the logos, was the word. So logos means word. So you've got homo, same, logos, word. So same word. And so confess, it literally means saying the same word, saying the same thing as God is saying. And so if we confess our sin, we are saying, Lord, you say that losing my temper is wrong. I agree with you. Losing my temper is wrong. You say that being discontent is a sin. Lord, I agree with you that being discontent is a sin. So confession means that we're saying the same thing about our sin that God says about our sin. We're saying, Lord, I agree with you that I've done the wrong thing. I agree with you that you should be justly angry with what I've done. And when we understand this, we realize that confessing sin is actually a little bit different to repenting of our sin. The two have to go hand in hand, but they're actually two distinct things, a little bit different. One is acknowledging our sin. The other is turning from that sin. But they need to go hand in hand. And the Bible often uses them assuming they're going to go hand in hand. And so what we're told here is that when we fail to walk in the light like we're supposed to walk in the light, a Christian needs to confess their sin. Lord, I've done the wrong thing. Please forgive me. I need to turn from it. And the result there is wonderful, isn't it? We're told that when we do that, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Great promise for Christians. When we confess, God will forgive. He'll wipe that slate clean again, and that joy of forgiveness will flood back again. That joy of relationship will be there. Nothing will be causing distance in that relationship with God. But what if you're not yet a Christian? But what if you know about Jesus, but you're not even walking in the light yet? You're not following him yet. What do you need to do? Well, this verse gives us the starting point for that as well. You need to confess your sin to God. And you need to say, God, I agree with you. I haven't loved you like I should love you. I agree with you. I haven't obeyed you like I should have obeyed you. Lord, I agree with you. I haven't lived for you like I should live for you. God, please forgive me. And then you place all your faith, all your trust in Jesus. Not simply in the baby Jesus, but in the Jesus who grew into a man who died on a cross in the place of repentant sinners. You place your faith in his sacrifice, in him taking the punishment that you deserve to face. So if you're not a Christian, you confess your sin, you trust in Jesus. That's how you become a Christian. If you do that sincerely from the heart, then you'll be saved. But how do you know that you've done that sincerely? How do you know that you're truly a Christian? Well, you know because your heart's desire from that point forward will be to follow Jesus. Your heart's desire will be to walk in the light. You're not going to do it perfectly, but your heart will be pulling you away from the rocks of sin and danger and destruction towards the light. A Christian has a new heart, a heart that pulls them to the light. So in wrapping things up, a couple of things to remember. Jesus is not calling us to remember him each and every year on the 25th of December. He's actually calling us to follow him each and every day of our lives. Being a Christian, it's not about intellectually believing the facts about Jesus. It's not about just admiring him from a distance. It's about having your whole life shaped by those facts and then following him. So this Christmas season, let me leave you with this simple question. Am I simply admiring the light or am I following the light? That's a really important question to ask. How about we pray? Father God, we thank you for sending your Son into our world. Thank you that he humbled himself. He came as a baby. He grew into a man and then died in the place of sinners. Father, you've been so good to us in sending him. Father, this is easy to admire from a distance. But Lord, we know that you're calling us to have our whole lives turned upside down by those things that we believe, so that we follow you with all of our hearts. Father, I pray for those of us this morning who are Christians. Please help us to strive to walk in the light, to follow you every day. And Lord, help us to remember to confess our sin when we fail to walk in the light. Father, for those who don't yet know you, for those who maybe are just admiring Jesus from a distance, please help them to see that they need to trust in him, truly trust in him. They need to turn from their sins. And may they follow you. Lord, we pray for your Spirit to work in all our hearts, because your word should not leave us unchanged. Lord, change us, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.